Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to read from a passage from the Message translation of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 13. The disciples came up and asked Jesus, "Why do you tell stories?" He replied, "You have been given insight into the kingdom of God. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them." Jesus told them in this translation that he told stories to nudge people toward receptive insight. Jesus wanted people and wants people today to have insight and to be receptive towards the mysteries that he would reveal to them about God's way of doing things, or you could say the kingdom of God. Today I want to tell you a little story to nudge you towards some receptive insight on a subject that I like to call the snare of self. There once was a family that lived on a little small town farm, and one day the young boy in the family noticed that two dogs had appeared on the back porch, one red dog and one white dog. And these two dogs looked hungry and looked anxious to get in the house if they could, to receive some treats from that family, to be fed and watered. Well, the young boy happily began to feed both of these dogs, and day after day they kept reappearing on the back porch. Well, the day finally came when the parents of the young boy said, "We cannot keep two dogs in this house. You have to choose one of those dogs. We'll let you keep one, but we can't have two dogs in this home." So reluctantly, the boy made his decision, and he picked the white, fluffy dog and decided that he would not take that red dog. Problem that he encountered immediately was that because he had been feeding them both, they both kept reappearing day after day, and both of them desperately wanted to be let in through that back door to come into the house and make themselves at home. Finally, in exasperation, the young boy went to his grandpa and asked him for some advice. "What should I do, Grandpa? I can't seem to get rid of that red dog." The grandfather wisely replied, "Only feed the one you want to keep." The grandfather knew if he kept feeding both of those dogs, even accidentally, by allowing that red dog to keep eating from the white dog's food, they'd still have both of those dogs vying for occupancy in that home. That little story reminds me of how the spirit and the flesh both are vying to get a place in your house, or you could say the home of your heart. We have a condition that is described very well in the book of Romans as well in Galatians that's called the flesh. And the flesh has been defined as the human nature without God, whereas the spirit is the nature of God or the influence of God himself in human nature. When the spirit wants to move you, that's the nature of God speaking to you and wanting to move your human nature to do the will of God. And yet there's this war between the flesh and the spirit, just like there was a little bit of competition between the red and the white dog in that story. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish." In the Amplified translation, it reads this way, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled by and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of that human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." Like that red and that white dog, those two were antagonistic towards one another because they both wanted to get into that house and make themselves at home and take up residency. The Spirit wants to take up residency and be at home in you and in your life, but the flesh is always trying to be antagonistic toward the Spirit and is in continuous conflict with the Spirit because it wants to be gratified as well. And like Grandpa said to the young boy, only feed the dog you want to keep. The key to not allowing the flesh to become dominant or controlling in your life is to only feed the dog you want to keep. Stop feeding the red dog. Stop feeding the flesh. Verse 17 in Galatians 5 says, "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, which is godless human nature. They are antagonistic towards each other, continually in conflict with each other, so that you're not free but prevented from doing what you desire." I like to refer to the flesh as self, because self is something that always wants to dominate. It wants to have its own way. It wants its own gratifications or cravings appeased. And we live in a culture that exalts self. In fact, has almost deified self as an idol in this culture. And you can see it very clearly if you just simply look in the dictionary and examine how many English words are compound words that begin with the four-letter word self. Just a few of them include self-assurance, self-confidence, self-promoting, self-interest, self-protection, self-sufficient, self-centered, self-motivated, self-gratification. And you can go on and on just reading from the list in the dictionary, but it's a clue for us, or I would say it's evidence of the pervasiveness of the pursuit of self, or to use a biblical term, the pursuit of the flesh in this country. We are not to be snared by self or snared by the flesh. God wants us to be vessels that are able to be used by the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. And yet self wants to come to the forefront, and self wants to dominate, and self wants its own way. In our education system, we find one of the foundational principles that educators are taught is to build up the self-confidence or self-esteem of the students. And yet, though this may sound noble and it may sound perfectly legitimate, even as you listen to me say those words right now, they are contrary to what Scripture teaches. We are never told anywhere in the Bible that we are to be self-confident. We are never told to pursue building up our self-confidence or the self-confidence of someone else. Quite on the contrary, we are told that it is foolish to be confident in the flesh or in your own self, but it is wise, and you're blessed if you'll have confidence in God. God doesn't want you or your children self-confident. He wants them God-confident. He wants you confident that God can do a work through you and in you that can change the world. Another interesting observation is that the word self-actualize, which was very popular in the 70s and even the 80s, refers to the concept of a person becoming all they can be in themselves and within their flesh or their self becoming great under their own power and strength and abilities, etc. And yet God, again, does not instruct us in this way. Those who would promote this idea of self-actualization, being the captain of your own destiny, the captain of the ship of your life, etc., do not understand a very primary principle of the kingdom of God and of the reality of this world, that a self or flesh without God will crash his own ship. And self-will, which is what's behind this whole self-actualization, is opposed to God's will. God doesn't want you to have your own will. He wants you to find out his will, pursue that with all of your heart, and then allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and move through you and to empower you by the power of God to do great things in the kingdom of God. It's a different perspective. It's a different attitude. And it's absolutely the biblical perspective that we're given in Scripture. God wants us to die to self and allow the Spirit of God to live and work in us, that we might truly become all God created us to be. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.